Party Line on WILO, and Boone's Best 102.7 is made possible by TC Trailers. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight. IU Health, Big O Tires in Lebanon, big deals. Save money now and 24/7 at welovebigdeals.com and your free local news source, Clinton, Carroll, or BooneCountyDailyNews.com. The Party Line online telecast on HoosierLandTV.com is brought to you by 51 West Event Center, First Bank Midwest, Shoop's Country Foods, Culligan Water of Boone and Clinton County, Day and Ginda Funeral Home, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Sam I Am Carpet Cleaning, Big O Tires in Lebanon, Arborwood by Shoop's, Welty Exteriors, Newell Gas, Wesley Manor Retirement Community, Stone Alley Hardware and Industrial Supply, Jerry's Body Shop, Community Foundation serving Carroll, Clinton, and Howard Counties, Simplify Family Dental, Tornado Roofing, Siding, and Gutters, Witham Health Services, Ellis Jewelers, Marshan's Window Tinting, Ivy Tech Community College, Changing Lives, VFW Post 1110 in Frankfurt, Copper Electric Services LLC, Braden Business Systems, Lanen's Furniture and Mattress, and Man Chevrolet GMC in Delphi. Whether you're listening on WILO, Boone's Best 102.7, watching on Hoosierland TV, or joining us online, we invite you to be part of the show. Call us at 765-659-3338. This is Party Line.
Hey, good morning, good morning. It is Party Line on WILO 102.7. If you're in Boone County, 96.9 and 1570, of course. We still do the AM thing. And that's kind of a big controversy right now. If, excuse me, Tom Jameson actually joining me now in studio. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Chad.
Did you have a good Labor Day?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, busy, full. But
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, full. Same here.
Boy, what a gorgeous day yesterday, huh?
Oh, my. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. And my grandson came over and blessed me by mowing the yard.
Nice.
That was a cool thing. So it worked out well there. So got a little extra break there. But before I was introducing you, I was saying, you know, AM radio is under attack. You know, there's some car manufacturers that don't want to put AM radios back into the cars because they said, well, you know, who listens to AM radio? But I do think that it's important because you never know when things can just get crazy, and there's a reason why, you know, that modulation would be important.
Sure,
But I say why, you know, it's still out there and there's still people broadcasting over it, so why would you just do away with it?
But is it really that cost prohibitive to give AM access?
Yeah, I mean, just have AM access on your radio and have it. I think I would want more access than less. And I think that sometimes I get a little concerned because they limit, you know, the more they limit the access, sometimes that gets a little crazy. Mm. So, one of the reasons checking in with you with the chamber, we've got an event coming up, the casino night coming up in October.
Into October,
24th, big day. Laura and Tina have been working hard behind the scenes to get everything planned and ready to rock, the whole group, the board and all. We've got, sounds like it's going to be a great night.
Mm, yeah, I'm excited. I've not been a part of casino night before, so this is interesting for me to see this pull together, but you've just gone over. Gosh, how thick is that pile of paper you're going through? There's so much going on in this
bizarre
community,
you
don't go to everything, but boy, there are things that tickle your fancy that you want to be a part of, and Casino Night can be a part of that too. But what a great opportunity to mix and mingle. You know, to have the kind of
and not lose any money.
Yeah,
nobody's gonna lose any money.
Don't get me going on that.
It's all fun,
all fun and just a neat opportunity. We're gonna be out at the Diamond Event Center.
Yep,
and that I'm sure for a lot of people is a venue that they've not yet dip their toe into, and to see that and to meet the folks out there, the good folks who have a great event center out there.
It's a beautiful area.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Beautiful. The work that they did, you know, I remember when it was the wallpaper store, and that was a great store.
Yeah.
But what great transformation that they've made there.
when I first moved to town, it was the Stewart Furniture Store.
Mm.
It was it was the furniture store back in the day, and then of course, like you said, Joey's wallpaper.
Yeah,
I remember.
Yeah.
Bought a lot of. I remember going in there, and we bought a lot of what do they call that around the top?
The little trim piece.
Yeah. Because you always, you know, you paint your walls or maybe your wallpaper, but then you always had that
little accent piece that goes around. Yeah.
Wallpaper's coming back.
Well, for some people.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I'd ever
wallpaper again. But.
Yeah. You're also a handyman. You've done it all. Wallpapering was not my forte at all.
No, I remember my mom and dad wallpapering the dining room, and that was the closest they ever came to calling it quits.
Well, they said if you can survive a renovation or a construction project,
then your marriage is strong indeed.
Strong or you've just gone so senile that you've forgot about anything. So we talk about all the different events that are going on.
It is
amazing, a community our size that really does have this, because you live over in West Lafayette.
Yeah.
And you've got you got Purdue. Of course, the Boilers had a big win Friday night.
Well, it depends on who you talk to. I mean, it was a win. We'll see how the rest of the season.
Hey, any win's a big.
Oh, it is. It is. Yeah. And we love our Boilermakers. And you know what football season means. Basketball season's on the way.
Oh, yeah. So. That's right. That's right. For the Boilermakers.
Yeah.
It used to be the way it was for IU.
Yeah, yeah.
But now that's a completely.
And they had another big win. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's neat to see. But like you say, a community is really only as vibrant as the people who engage in it. And you can have lots of events, but if folks aren't taking advantage of that. And just, again, you don't have to go to everything. But if all of us go to something, then that really does help a community to be vibrant. And from that vibrancy comes connection. And from connections come ideas. And from ideas comes growth. And on and on it goes. And I kind of bemoan, I'll own that I live in a little community where, you know, we come in, we open the garage door, pull our car in, close the garage door. And that kind of isolated mindset we've lost. I saw a meme the other day about kids growing up in the 60s, which you and I grew up in the 60s and early 70s. And all the things we did back then that would horrify any parent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I was just talking to Montana Wolf. You can tell she's a younger lady. And I mentioned that, because they've got the car seat inspection coming up this Saturday.
Car seat? What's a car seat?
What's a car seat? What's a seatbelt? I mean, you know.
My mom was my car seat.
That's right. It was her right arm.
Yeah.
You know, usually would get the stop
smacking
sign.
You to sit back down. It was like, just
and,
sit down.
Or if you're in the back, you know, we had an old Town and Country.
Oh, yeah.
Chrysler Town and Country station wagon.
Yep. I used to sit in the back jump seat.
The wood grain.
Mm-hmm.
And blue, it was a light blue with the wood grain. And baby blue, and I would sit back in the back, and we'd try to get the truckers honk their horn.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, they could take me out.
The rear window was down all the way, right? So if you lean out far enough, you could bloop, go out, and the dad would never know it. But we used to, a Ford station wagon. And
we drove Pintos that blew up.
I learned to drive on a Pinto. Pinto and an Omni. But my dad used to pack me in the back of the car when we'd go on long trips. He'd get a few suitcases in, then he'd put me in, then he'd pack me back there and say, okay, it's 4 hours to the first rest stop.
That's right. You better make sure you go,
boy. We'll see you then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, times have changed. But that whole idea of being community together is, to me, it's rooted in relationships. It's knowing who your neighbors are, who lives next door to you.
Right.
Taking the time to simply say hi, to say, you know, hey, I noticed you got something going on. Is that something I can help out with? It's something that we need to make sure don't lose.
What do you think? Well, I'm not too sure we haven't lost a lot of that, maybe. But what do you think has been the reason why that has been lost?
I'm holding up my cell phone.
You're holding up your cell phone.
Yeah, because social media. How many times do you go to a restaurant, you see people sit down, and the first thing everybody does is pulls out their cell phone.
Yeah.
And you got, here we are out having dinner together, lunch together, and we're looking at our cell phones. I'm as guilty of that as the next person. I remember a Thanksgiving one year when my folks were there, and here are my folks on their cell phone, and I'm on my cell phone.
Wow.
The kids are on their cell phones, and stop it. Oh, talk to one another. We've lost, I think at the heart of it might be we've lost the art of conversation.
Mm.
Of just this, of learning how to banter back and forth, to take an actual interest in, hey, what's going on in your life? How are you seeing things?
I think that sometimes comes with being able to just ask real questions too.
Good questions.
Yeah, and I'm not too sure that because look, I don't have a problem with someone asking a question that really may be a conversation starter as long as they're sincere.
Yeah.
You know, I think the sincerity is, but when you get with someone, we all have had those people that are really genuinely sincere about, no, I want to get to know you more. I mean, I want to just, you know, let's spend some time and, you know, the first 5 or 6 minutes or 7 or 8 minutes that, you know, you're talking to somebody brand new and you're asking those questions and you're getting to know. It's amazing how much you find in common over what you have in differences with.
And it does take, I think you're right, it takes that heart of curiosity and that willingness to say, you know what, let's put our views kind of out here.
Right.
Because you're God's created you. You're an individual. You're a human being, and you are worth knowing. I think every human being is worth knowing.
Absolutely. That's the one rule we have on our football team is respect.
Yeah.
I say, hey, look, I don't have 10 rules. I don't have 20 rules. I don't have 100 rules. We have one rule. If you respect me, and I respect you, and you respect each other, when one's talking, you'll be quiet. When one has something they're dealing with, you know, we're going to all deal with it as a team. But we just respecting each other, respect each other's property. You're not going to go you're not going to go grab somebody's shoes.
Right.
You're not going to go mess with them. You're not going to go paint on somebody's helmet. You're just not going to do those kind of things. You're going to respect their property. You're going to respect their person. And you're going to respect their property. And at the end of the day, when you, I think that opens up the door for us to be a little more sincere, but also a little bit more empathetic with people that are dealing with. We don't know what people are dealing with. We really don't. And that's why it's so important. We tell kids all the time. You know, you're mad and you're upset about this and did you know that person you're mad at is just found out that they're losing a loved one or they've got bad news you know. So how do we handle? And I think that in our day and age of being able to have dialogue and have conversation, and we can even have conversation and still walk away and go be very disrespectful to people. And that's what I'm saying. It's got to carry on past the conversation, too. It can't be, oh, I'm going to have a conversation with you. And, oh, by the way, I still don't like the way you think, and so I'm going to go rip you somewhere else.
Right, yeah. You have to carry that posture into,
other conversations.
Absolutely. And what you put on this little device here, on the different platforms it's really an element of self-control,
right?
When you think of it, which is mastering yourself and being able to allow those convictions to play out in.
Snatch the pebble from my hand, Tom.
Yeah.
going back to kung fu school. Yeah. You're right. Self control is so incredibly important. Again, we talk to young people about this all the time. It is a from a biblical principle. It is one of the fruits of the spirit that mm-hmm. we get when as the follower of Christ. That is something that we have to be in charge of and get over. But I will say. My frustration, I think we talked about this not long ago, maybe not on Party Line, but it was I was in another conversation with someone. I think I was sharing last week at Delphi is what I was saying, is that the use of the F word some of the language that is even shared. I was in a public place the other day, and I could not believe how someone was just jumping on somebody else. And I'm like, okay. I'm at your place of, business,
mm-hmm.
and you guys are having this fight, and I'm a customer. Hey, hello.
Yeah. And do I really want that venom spilled into whatever service you might be providing me?
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I just think that we have a very limited mindset of that self-control because that self wants to do its own thing, we want to be able to gratify ourselves, and we want to get, hey, we all get angry, we all get frustrated,
sure,
and take it down a notch. And I think that's part of the conversation we need to have more in communities like this and across the mm-hmm. country, is being able to take the temperature down. We hear that a lot, but can
right.
we take the temperature down enough to be able to actually have
and that takes humility.
Yeah,
that takes a willingness to listen to the other person. Takes an ability to just step back. And that's hard sometimes. And it takes maturity to do that.
You are a theologian. I mean, you are been in ministry for many years. How do people get humility? What do you think? How does humility come to some people, or how do we grab humility?
Well, I think you touched on it before. For me, I think it has to go down to that question of who's at the center of who I am.
Mm.
Is it me, or is it someone else, or ultimately is it God sitting on the throne of my life? Since you brought up the whole theology thing,
yeah.
My perspective is that Scripture teaches that we're made in the image of God to have Him the center of our lives and to live and to breathe from that center. And what our issue is when you look at the fall and all that has plagued mankind since Adam and Eve is that we have placed self on the throne, and doing that just goes counter to what humility demands.
Right.
And it all flows from there.
Right.
How do you eradicate self from the throne?
It's a daily process. I was going to say that minute by minute. Process.
Well, yeah. What Paul says, to offer yourself a living sacrifice. The problem with a living sacrifice is it crawls back off the altar every day.
It's like
to keep putting yourself
it's
there.
Like the bacteria that is in the petri dish.
Yeah.
You kill it, and then it wants to keep coming back. It's like that, like the virus, but it is the virus of the flesh. I mean, it becomes that. Because even Paul said, wretched man I carry, this dead man is a wretched dead man that I carry with me.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta kill it. I've killed it.
Yeah.
I gotta get rid of it.
Yeah, yeah. And I do the things I don't want to do. I don't do the things I want to do that I know I should do. What hope is there for me?
Yeah, and again, not beating a horse, but, I get to host Party Line on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and when we do have some free time, I do like talking about these things because, to me, these are the things that are not only just life changing, but they are community changing. They can change a culture, and it really is. Can you imagine if everybody just would grasp that? We're going to respect everybody.
Well, even the simple self-governance of not posting something on Facebook.
Yeah,
you know, writing it if you're feeling that, going ahead and writing it, but not posting it for 10 minutes.
Yeah, can you just wait?
You know,
yeah,
and or running it by someone else to say, you know, oh, I'm so angry, I want to say this, and just getting a different perspective on that, or a hey, you know, you sure you want to light that fire or do that thing? So just, you know, it can be little things, simple things.
Well, and when did news become this?
Oh.
Because some days I get on the, I mean, I'm listening.
First opinion,
to,
yeah,
and yeah, and I look and I get on the, I turn on the news. And they'll even be talking about something that happened, an accident or whatever. And I'm like, but do I really even need to know that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I mean, do I really need to know? I mean, how is it going to, but it's become a multi-trillion dollar business over the centuries, over the years of, you can go all the way back to New York Times and,
well, we have a page Boston. Of the first edition of the Frankfurt Morning Times.
1894.
And in it is a column about, you know, on Sunday, so-and-so traveled to Indianapolis to see her sister.
I think it's called local Stories or local News.
It's the original Facebook.
It's the original Facebook. And if you guys don't believe us, you can come to the second story of the Iron Block. We have the original in under glass, the very first Frankfurt Morning Times. I believe it's April 12th, 1894.
Something like that.
It is. But to your point, I'm glad you brought that up because I say that all the time. I'm thinking, look, I think it's Mr. Garrison and his family traveled to Indianapolis today. That was. Okay.
Why does this qualify as news? So for me, the test is news. Ought to be. I'll get philosophical.
Yeah, here we go. We go theologically to philosophically.
Yeah. News ought to be information that stimulates a positive response in me.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, I think it is news that there was this horrific flash flood in Nepal.
Yeah.
And I think, well, what can I do about that? Well, that's a good question.
Yeah.
What can I do about that?
Right.
How can I be, you know, supporting agencies that are going in there and providing relief? How can I, as a man of faith, be praying for those who are still trapped? And that kind of thing. So even to approach the news as I listen to the news, not simply as, oh, I just need more information. I just, you know, for some reason, I need to know all this stuff.
Yeah.
And listen to the news from a perspective of, oh, how might I be called to be a difference maker?
Mm.
How can this help me be more engaged in my community? You know, and maybe it will be, oh, I don't like that report, I feel like there's a response that hasn't been offered that should be offered, and doing that, you know, not with the hot temperature necessarily, but doing that respectfully, doing that appropriately, and
in the couple of minutes we have left, 9/11's coming up Friday, the 25th,
25 years.
Where were you?
I was in our living room. I remember vividly we were getting ready for the day. The girls were getting ready for school. A couple of them had already gone off. And I remember seeing the report. I think we were watching NBC News at that point. Just seeing the report of the first plane into the tower and just thinking, oh, gosh, somebody, you know, must have had a heart attack in a Piper Cub and they, you know, just happened to hit it. And then the unfolding of the second plane, when the second plane hit, I remember that gut reaction of, this is not right.
Right.
There is something going on. And then my other just vivid memory is where the CVS is now. It was a shell gas station, I think, at that point.
BP was a BP, yeah.
And cars lined up to pay over $4 a gallon for gas and thinking, what is happening?
I'd
never seen anything like that. And a lot of other things.
I think most people know and remember when we were getting the news. My wife actually called me. I was working at Tuffy's. I was the service manager over at Tuffy's in Kokomo.
Mm-hmm.
Service manager there working and right next, like yourself, right next to a gas station. And I could not believe, I bet they changed the price of gas probably 10 times that day.
Gosh.
It just kept going up.
That really frightened me.
Yeah.
In my young, naive state at that point.
Yeah.
To see the both the reaction and the exploitation.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, we need to find a center here. We need to find a place of security because, you know, these waves are crashing and hitting us. What are we standing on? What are we hoping in?
Yeah.
And we had, I think you were probably part of it, we had a prayer service that night at Case Arena.
Oh, that's right. Case Arena opened up for a prayer service.
Yeah,
that's right.
And that, I mean, there were quite a number of people that were there.
Well, a lot of people came back to the church.
They did. Yeah.
And
some of them stayed.
Yeah, some of them stayed. I was just going to say the same thing. So.
Cheap shot. Sorry.
No. Well, it's the self, because it's the self-control thing.
It is.
We get caught back up in what we want to do and where we want to go.
But, you know, as we celebrate, and I know we got to get off here, but lest we forget, and you know, I know we have the monuments in New York and the park and in Pennsylvania and at the White House. But lest we forget that this is an ongoing battle. I don't mean just with the terrorists. Okay, they're a representation of that. They're you know, the spirit of all this. I mean, this has been, again, since the Garden.
Yep.
And may God grant grace that we would know His peace
and fall on His grace.
Be people of peace.
Be people of peace. Fall on His grace. Pray for the peace of Israel. Pray for the peace of all people, that God would grant them that grace and that peace. And not be so full of hatred and so full of vitriol. And some folks confuse sometimes my frustration and anger with the way we live. With hatred, it's not hatred at all. I try to speak truth into the situation in someone's life, and they don't always like it, because I have to do the same in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it. There's times where, you know, God's really convicted me of how I'm eating right now. So Yeah, Shane, you've been doing this. So, yeah, again. Yeah, because you gotta, like Paul says, daily. It's daily.
Daily.
So, all right, brother. Appreciate you coming in. Thank you very much.
All right, God.
You have a great rest of the week. Well, I'll talk to you soon. but the rest of your week is, and all of our listeners, the rest of their week.
Yes.
Until Thursday, good Lord willing, I'll be back with you. Stay courageous. Be obedient. God bless. We'll talk to you soon.